We are here to figure out how to have more conversations from our hearts. That's really all we're doing. What does it mean to have a conversation from our heart space, not from a fear space, not from a judgmental space, not from a grandiose space, not from a shame space? What does it mean to really be in a place of shared humanity, speaking from our hearts and connecting ways that are safe and boundaried with one another? And where do those kinds of conversations take us? Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Conversations from the Heart. You are in the right place if you are longing to use words in authentic, kind, and direct ways to connect more deeply and to make a meaningful and positive impact on the world at home and at work. Do you want to have a new kind of conversation with both yourself and others? Let's dive in. It is so nice to be here with you today. It is lovely to be in community with you. I want to, as always, invite you to join my membership if you are not already in it. And the membership also is a program that keeps evolving in me. And so I'm going to tell you a few different things about it today. One of the main things that we do in the membership program is work on how to have a different conversation. And you get all of the 52 videos from Human 101. You get the core curriculum. Yes, you get all the learning. But really, I feel like one of the main benefits is that you get to be in a community of people and you get to try on new scripts. You get to think through a situation that you're struggling with. You get to feel into the edges of where you're at in your development and get some help with whatever your next step is, right? It's a place that you can test out how to have a new conversation with someone without it being the real person. It's like doing the pre-work, right? Like sometimes there's stuff I wish I could say to someone, but I think if I said it to them that way, it might not go well. But if I can find someone else that I can go say it to like that, and then we can work with what am I really trying to say and what do I mean? And then I can take it back to the real high stakes person with a little bit more awareness and a little bit less charge and a little bit more capacity. I increase the likelihood that I'm going to be able to do it differently out there in the real world. So it's just a great place to play with language and words, to get some more self-connection, to try some things out with other people. And you can do that through a lot of the self-study materials that we have, but also through the four live calls that we have, two of which are Q&A calls and two of which are structured practice calls. So I just want to put a plug in for that because as the membership is growing and evolving, we're adding new features and I already am thinking about new videos. And it's the richest place really for me to be working on the curriculum and the community and helping people in a little bit deeper and more directed way. So that is just an explanation of that in case you were wondering. You know what else? I don't know if everybody on this call has taken the listening quiz on the website. I don't know if you all know that there is a listening quiz on the website because good communication really does begin with how we listen differently. And it's a fun quiz. You can take it many times. The way that that quiz is designed is so that you can think of a particular situation or a particular person. And then in that situation with that person, how would you answer the questions? And that'll give you a sense of like what energies are up in you and how you're listening in that context. But there are different ways of listening and we all do all of them. It's just a good quiz to help you figure out what mindset am I in with this person in this situation. It's not really like, who are you as a personality type? Although you might identify with one of the styles more than others, and you might be trying to practice your way into one of the styles more than others. But just so you know, it's fun, it's free. Okay. And that's the other thing. For each of them, there's like an entire page of like what your growth edges would be, what the tips would be, where the traps are with this way of listening, what to look out for. So, it's just for fun. We are going to dive into questions for today. And we're going to begin with Danny. Danny's request is, are there times when trying to engage in this type of conversation doesn't quote unquote work or is not advisable outside of abuse or harm? So I don't know, Danny, tell me more. What are you thinking about?
Just in my own practice, mm-hmm. And then I am also a coach and I work with betrayed partners. And so just navigating my own work first, obviously, and then sharing out of my own hope, strength, and experience with others. I'm just curious though, I was re-listening. I think I listened to your Getting to the Heart of the Matter like three times. Like it sounds good, it looks great on paper, and then you get into these scenarios. And what I'm picking up is it really takes, emphasizing really takes a lot of self-awareness, attunement, and trust. And if trust isn't there, is that a time where like this is going to be hard to navigate?
Well, it depends on the intention. You can so let's pull out the parts for a moment just to make sure that I'm following you. When you say this type of conversation, are you talking about the flow chart that's in the membership program where we move through the getting to the heart of the matter flow chart of all of the choice points in a conversation? Yes, that one. Okay. And that, by the way, that flow chart is available for free for everybody on the website. So you can follow along on that. In the membership, I have a whole instructional video on how you might work with that, but you don't need that. If you're not in the membership, you can grab that flow chart. So let's go through that flow chart. And I'm going to say a few things, Danny, and then you let me know what follow-up questions you have. What I would say is it doesn't really matter what situation you're working with. That flow chart can be a helpful roadmap because you're going to begin with what is it that I'm noticing? What I might be noticing is that my nervous system is braced and guarded because my needs for trust are not met. And that's where I start the conversation. So it's a flowchart and a way of being in conversation about what we are noticing to be true about my experience and your experience in the here and now. And then trying to sort out what is and isn't possible, given the deepest truth of our present moment experience as it is, and what choices we have about that. How's that landing?
Yes, I think when you said choices, in certain scenarios, like I've gotten to a point, like I realize I have choices, but back in the day, I don't think I felt like I had any. So I'm just observing that when people don't see other options or other pathways or other choices, they get really stuck and rigid. And so in conversation with another individual, who maybe I'm trying to connect with, and like I'm aware of what's happening in my body, and I can tell when it's getting tense. I'm aware of their body, like just the resistance to things. And so, just I guess there's this allowing, but
Well,
like this isn't going to work today, you know?
So let's unpack this idea of what does it mean for something to work? And I'm going to hold that rhetorically and I'm going to come back to it in a minute, okay? Because where I'd recommend you begin is with the practice of neutral observation, of noticing and naming what is alive and real for each of us in the now. Start with that kind of check-in. I'm noticing myself feeling really stuck. Not seeing choices that I enjoy, having an attachment to a parallel reality that doesn't seem possible in this moment, noticing myself really grasping for something that we can't embody yet, this kind of thing. We can just notice and name each person's interiority without any demand that it be different as the starting place for the conversation we want to have. And then I would slow it down and really just take your time. An acknowledgement of the stuckness that we are currently in and how intractable it feels and how much pain is in this space. Let's name it, let's put it on the table, and let's just hold it together without doing anything about it for a moment.
And that would take trust to know that if you have something on the table and you've put your heart out there, and if that's not there.
So then you could say, I'm noticing that I don't have a willingness to be revealed. Because I don't trust that I have the capacity to handle what I'm predicting is going to come my way. And I don't
Okay.
wield it.
Okay, so flip that though. Because sometimes I struggle this in a particular relationship where my thought is just what you just said, but they aren't able to articulate it.
Are you asking right now, just for my own clarity on where to put my focus?
Yes.
Are you asking right now that you as a helping person working with two people who are in a conflict, Are you asking for what moves might be helpful for you in that moment,
I
or are
know.
you asking how to help them in that moment? Or I'm help me
Yes.
out.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. It kind of switched and I was realizing
Yeah.
that. So I'm going to bring it
That's
back
okay.
to me. I'm going to bring it
Okay.
back to me because, you know, I am you and you are me kind of thing. And so in what I've noticed, sometimes I'm wanting to engage in a conversation, in a dialogue, and I'm noticing, like, I can just say, I'm feeling stuck. I'm not sure where to go with this right now. Is there, like, what would help allow for there to be a little bit more ease here? And if another person is kind of shut down, like, I go to curiosity, like, do they know, like, what you just said about, like, I'm not feeling safe right now. But if there's somebody who's emotionally disconnected and can't even articulate that,
Yeah, they don't have the capacity. Well,
yeah.
in my mind, okay, in my mind, what I do with that is I notice that there is very limited interpersonal capacity in the space right now, and we first need to build interpersonal capacity. So if you go to the flowchart, stimulus, internal response, you're starting internal response. I cannot communicate anything to you in a skillful way that I am not connected to yet in me. If I don't know what's going on in me, I have very little to offer. In a conversation in which we're exploring about what is going on or what is possible, because I'm not aware of it yet. I'm not aware of it yet. I'm not con connected to it yet. And perhaps in any given relational frame, I have rules going on in me and protective systems going on in me that I'm not willing to get aware or available to that data in this person's presence. So then I know that and I notice that. And then we figure out one. Does this person or do I mean, either way, do I want to get aware or not? Do I want to be self-connected or not? Would I enjoy doing that internal work or not? And we honor people's choices. We're not trying to make anyone get anywhere that they don't want to go. We're not imposing an agenda on anybody that we think is better for them. And we're not hurrying people up into doing something that they're not ready to do. How's that landing as a start? Wait, you're muted again. Sorry.
And if that's true, because I've had to work on that, I've
Yeah.
had agendas before. Like, come
Yes.
on, I've been learning all this stuff, and this is great. We need to
Yes.
practice it, do it. And so there's excitement because you know the possibilities that are here, and then it does kind of deflate, you know, like we're, it's
Yeah.
just not a two-way thing. And so if I'm aware of this, you know, like I can't control and I have to allow, and this other person is who they are, and they're unwilling or unable or not skilled at, you know, like emotional intimacy, anorexia, whatever, you have to put a label on it. Those are hard places to be with another. Like I can allow them to be, but then I have to wonder, I guess, what I do with that is it comes back down to that. Like, how do I be with someone who isn't skilled or
So here's what
has.
I do with it. Let me tell you what I do with it, because I come across this, as you can imagine, very often in my days. Okay, but here's what I do with it. This is what's helped me, and you pick the things that fit for you and don't take the things that don't. The very first thing that I do is I relax my nervous system and I work on seeing the beauty of what is in front of me as it is. I notice any agenda in myself that somebody be more awake, be more skilled, be more fluent, be more transparent, be more courageous, be more emotionally nourishing, be more emotionally intimate. Whatever the longing is that I'm having, I figure out what that is and I drop it. So for me, it's dropping my attachment and agenda for someone else to be showing up in a way that I prefer. So that's one piece of my inner work. The next piece is learning how to sit with, practicing for myself. How to sit with the tension of the difference between what I see in my mind as a possibility in the future and the current state of what is available in the now. And then I soften my own being into first figuring out how I am going to work with this person as they are, with no demand that there is change, with no pressure for change. The last thing that I want to do is be yet another person in their lives that they need to resist. So that's where we get the safety from. And I work on understanding. I start looking at what they are doing. Like in psychological language, I might say I start naming and noticing all the defenses. In nonviolent language, you might say, I start paying attention to the strategies that they are using and that they are currently attached to. And I begin unpacking the good reason why that would be there and why that behavior makes the most sense for that person to be using right now, given whatever has happened to them in the past. And I start by building validation, validation, validation. You are fine as you are. You make sense. I'm guessing it might be like this. Am I right? I'm guessing you learned to do this like this. Am I right? Tell me how you learned to do this. When did you need to do this? How does this work for you? That's the early stages. But if I'm coming at that with an agenda that is, let's unpack this because this is a bad and wrong way of being that is getting in your way, and I want to help you fix it. If I'm coming from that energy, I'm making it 20 times harder for me and the other person. And I don't really know. I don't really know. And if there's something that's going on in me that is like, I heard you say something like, I've learned these skills and they're really useful and they're really like, I have that too. I will express it in that way. I might say, look, I can understand that your preferences are really to go silent. You have a reluctance. I'm making something up now, right? Like you have a reluctance to actually put yourself out there, and it makes sense to me. Here's what I think. I think it helps you feel protected, feel safe. Is that right? Is it something different, right? So I'm going to tune to where somebody is at. And at some point, if I am able to build enough rapport, I might say, you know, there are things that I've learned to do in my life that I have personally found really enriching in the following ways. And I can find in myself a deep longing to share them with you. But I also feel reluctant because I don't want it to feel to you like pressure to be like me. But if you're ever interested in some of the things that have worked or some of the ideas that I'm having, I want you to know that they're there. I'm holding them back. And please ask about them anytime if you're interested. You know, some version of that. Some maybe not those exact words, but in that spirit and in that energy, I make myself available. And then I only, you know, one of the things, I shouldn't say only because I don't think I do this very perfectly, but I have a deep intention to give people what they're asking for, not what I think they should have. And there are some caveats to that as I hear myself say that. It's not absolute, but how's that landing as some general way of orienting here?
You know, like I'm feeling my way through all the words you just said.
Yes, yeah, sorry, it was a lot.
And so I can only speak from like my own personal worldview and spiritual worldview, because this is how I'm kind of correlating it to. And so obviously, without denying myself, without gaslighting or, you know, betraying myself, staying as attuned to myself as possible, this for me, what it's like, and I don't want to offend anybody here, but it's like this is kind of dying to self. I'm realizing that this takes just a lot of awareness and presence, and the connection piece is going to be what's most vital here if that relationship is most important to me. And I'm going to just have to sit with this.
I think one of the things that I heard you say, if you listen to this on the recording, is that it feels like dying to self. And I have a couple of thoughts about that. If dying to self means self-sacrifice, I feel some hesitation about that. I'm not recommending any kind of self-neglect, self-abandonment, self-sacrifice. If dying to self means to you containing my ego and my personality and the younger parts of me that need to be seen and known and responding from a wiser, deeper, loving part of me that I trust more and letting go of some of my more personality trait, egoic things. If that's what it means, there might be some wisdom in there. There is something just intensely practical about go back to what is my intention? Am I trying to control and change somebody? Or am I trying to connect with somebody and help them figure out their next best step? And sometimes what other people choose for their best next step is not what we would choose. And that's okay. That's what it means to be a free, self-sovereign human being on the planet. Creating your own life and being responsible for your own choices. We don't have to make the same decisions. We don't have to have the same values or preferences. And, you know, the only last thing that I'll say on this piece is when I am in a quote unquote helper role, There's a lot of discernment going on all the time about what are my values. And I want to be really explicit with people about these are my values and this is how I work and this is the work that I do. If that's a good fit for you, we have a match. If that's not a good fit for you, let me help you find somebody who is going to be a good fit for you. I don't want to impose myself on people that don't want what I have to offer. So there's a discernment phase. And then there's also the sense of, as a quote unquote helper, what is my central intention? And that needs to be really, really clear because one of mine is not to project all of my values on the rest of the world. It is to live into my own values as inspiration. But part of my intentions, and this is partly why we start these calls this way, is how can I support you in being deeply connected with yourself, loving of yourself, getting in touch with your deepest truth, and then learning how to say that in the most clear, direct, kind, gentle, relational way while letting go of whatever the outcome is going to be of that. That's what I'm here about. Not everybody loves that. Not everybody agrees with that. Not everybody wants that. But it's a kindness for me to be clear about it, because the people who want that can find me, and the people who don't want that can vet me out right away and sort me out right away and go and find what they actually need. And things like this, if you want to do any deeper work, like, a personal session or a one-on-one session can always be a lot more helpful because I can give you much more concentrated focus on you. Yeah, great question. Thank you. Let's move on to Carol. Carol, are you willing to be in conversation? Where are you, Carol? Are you here?
I hate that.
Hi. Hi. So Carol writes, I would like some help regarding an interaction I had with my brother regarding him attending a memorial gathering for our deceased brother. What kind of help would you like? What's happening?
Yeah, I'll just give a short. So he joined a fundamentalist cult, Christian cult, when he was still a teenager, I think, and he's been with them ever since, and he's in his 60s now. So every time that I've talked with him and on the phone, we don't have a whole lot of contact with one another, but he always brings in that I need to be saved. And I tell him that I don't feel that way, and Christianity is not my path, and but that doesn't seem to matter anyway. We were having a memorial service for my deceased brother in the next couple of weeks, and he said that he would come, and then I kind of said what it was going to be like, kind of a brunch and kind of a remembrance and talk about memories of my brother and things like that. And he said, I can't do that. That he wanted to kind of bash my brother about how wrong he was for not being a Christian. And I set a boundary that we weren't going to be doing that for the memorial and that. And we talked for a while, and it just kept, we never could meet. Like, we never, that was what his purpose is, and he couldn't let go of it. So we kind of ended the call, and he considers the cult more of his family, and yeah. And I feel like I want to revisit it, but I don't know that it won't change anything probably,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I feel, some hurt and grief, kind of almost like I lost my him as my brother too. Yeah, and there's some anger too that I want to like
Discharge. Yeah. What
charge,
does the
like
voice of anger want to say?
just kind of talk about Christianity, like this isn't the brand of Christianity I would want. They talk about love, and this is nothing about love. It's about judgment and making sure we all know who's bad and how wrong we are. Yeah, just I don't know exactly what I'd want to say, but there's my mind kind of spins on kind of attacking him.
Yeah. So tell me all of the things you're proud of and how you dealt with that. What are all of the winds? And if you don't know them, I will help you outline them. But tell me what you know the winds are in this.
Well, I set a boundary that I knew it wasn't right for the community that's going to be gathering. Nobody wants to hear that. None of my family, the rest of my family is Christian.
So you protected yourself and other people from harsh judgment. That's a
And
big
they,
one.
yeah. And I also spoke up for myself of my own values and beliefs.
Yep, you showed up with integrity and with courage about where you stand, about what you're available for, about what you're not available for, and what kind of containers you are and are not creating. You were really clear about the conditions of participation and not.
And yeah, I kind of said goodbye to him. I told him I loved him, and yeah, just that we probably are not going to see each other.
So you expressed care and love. You included and invited him to an event with clarity around what was and wasn't welcome and what the terms of engagement would be. And you gave him full freedom of choice to participate or not, knowing the parameters. And you expressed care and love towards him, no matter what choice he was going to make.
And stated that we probably will not see each other again.
Yeah. And you were clear about sort of it sounds like, I don't know how much of this was with him, but there's some heartache and grief and sadness and acknowledgement that this may be a fundamental parting away of ways. Yeah, that's a lot of wins.
It kind of feels incomplete or undone.
Yeah. What do you feel is left to say for you? What do you wish you could still ask, say, express, find out?
Well, it seems hypocritical. My brother left him some money, and he's taking money like he's only taking from the family and not
That
giving.
seems like it's an integrity right now with who he is. What's hypocritical about that? Do you mean hypocritical of him or of you
Of
helping?
him, yeah,
Oh.
that he's only taking from the family. He
That
wants.
seems completely in alignment with what he's telling you about who he is. He's telling you, I have the way, the truth, and the light. You are all shits unless you're exactly like me. And you are here to be like me and to serve me and to join me in my world. And if you don't join me in my world, you all get to suffer. And if you want to give me money, I'll take it. That seems not hypocritical. That seems aligned. What am I missing?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of the anger
And the
and
anger, if I'm pretend I'm this brother and you could get to tell me what you're angry with me about, what would you tell me as your brother?
yeah, just the hurt and disappointment I feel that
Just notice something for a moment. I asked you to tell me about the anger and you instantly know what's underneath the anger and you go straight to the hurt and the
Yeah,
disappointment.
there's definitely some grief there.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wanting to honor my brother, celebrate my brother.
The other one.
Yeah, the one that died. Even though he had a like he was an alcoholic, he had a really hard life, and I still feel like that's what should be happening.
This should be happening. Let's get a little looseness around the should be happening. Yeah. And hold it like this. The brother who deceased, I think what I'm hearing you say, I feel a lot of tenderness and care and love for him. He had a hard life. I want to honor his memory and love him now as a way of getting closure. I'm not interested in having a gathering where we judge him after he has passed. That's what I'm creating and not creating. And I feel some sadness and grief that our brother isn't interested or willing in joining me in that intention. Is that true or not true?
Yes, that's true. That seems to be the crux.
Yeah, that's the crux of it. And it's a little bit maybe some of the anger I would be feeling is rooted in a longing, like I wish you could just join me here and be loving and Now, this is my agenda, so I'm going to totally own this. Like, I would be wanting to say, but don't you understand that the teachings of Christianity are infused with love and togetherness and forgiveness and grace, and let's come together? And I don't understand what you are stuck in that feels so out of alignment with what it is that you're saying you believe in. Is it something like that, or am I going too far?
It definitely is. It does feel like it's out of alignment. Like he's stuck in this blame and judgment thing, and that he has to like prophesize.
So, I mean, in a separate conversation, we could talk a little bit about, and I don't think we're there yet, so I don't want to put this on you. If you want to go there at some point, we absolutely can. But we can talk a little bit about what would it mean for you to include this brother who's in this way of being in a circle of care and still protect yourself. Yeah. Because it sounds like you are also wanting to live into the values that you want to embody.
Exactly.
And it's really challenging when you're interacting with this brother who is kicking up so much blame, shame, judgment, control, you know, all of these energies that do not seem in alignment with you and that you almost want to break through to him. But he's pretty rigidly entrenched in something and he's got the power of a community behind him and it feels really intractable right now.
It is. Yeah, I even said I don't know how to reach you. I just.
What if you said, if you added to that, I don't know how to reach you and I would really like to. Are there ways that you can think of that I could reach you? What would he say? What do you imagine he'd say?
I think he would soften a little bit, maybe feel into his heart.
The most that I think we can do collectively in these dynamics is rehumanize, 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 and stay soft and open and live into the thing we're trying to bring into being. We ca It doesn't work, in my experience, to meet like with like. You know, somebody sends judgment, blame, and shame your way. You need a jiu-jitsu move or an aikido move to transform it, not to return it. And that's pretty advanced practice and deep inner work to make that commitment to greeting fear and pain and judgment and control with love. With love, and love does not mean self-sacrifice. Love is self-protected and full of integrity and strong. I'm not going to become judgmental and shaming and blaming and rejecting just because I'm fielding it. I'm going to be stronger than it. That's a practice in and of itself.
It really is. My older two brothers both died, but they were estranged from each other, didn't talk to each other for over 10 years, and hardly have any contact with my fundamentalist brother. And after my this brother died, my sister and I became kind of estranged, kicked up a lot of stuff between us. And I need to do some repair work with her, and I'm having to remind myself just kind of what you said about making love, the higher
The higher
way,
value.
the higher value, rather than trying to like get something else or get back at her, or work through this kind of estrangement that we're in.
Yeah, I'm hearing so much estrangement, disconnection, shame, blame, judgment, fragmentation, righteousness. You know, like there's a lot in your family system. And I'm also hearing in you a deep open-heartedness and grief and longing to be building bridges, repairing rifts, healing the disconnection. And one of the most powerful tools, I think, there's many, but one of them is the practice of beginning to see the good reason why somebody is doing this shitty thing. So, for example, when you, dear brother, the one who didn't come to the memorial, you know, it sounds like when you say whatever it is that he's saying, you care so deeply about all of us being saved and good. It sounds like you really wish we were all in something together with you. Is that true? It sounds like you really just want to contribute to all of our well-being, and you feel like you have found this strategy, and if only we could all join you there, everything would be good. Is that right? It sounds like you really want to, you want some togetherness with us. You want to recruit us in, or me. You could talk about just me. It's always better if you make it personal and not a collective. But to see if you can get underneath the triggering packaging into speaking to what's at the heart of it. What is at the heart of it? It sounds like you're really scared that if we don't do this thing, that we're going to suffer even more. Is that it? You know, whatever it is. And that is a way of beginning to melt and unpack and create space in pretty entrenched belief systems without fighting them. How's that landing, Carol? You're muted again, just sorry.
Yeah, that feels very good in my heart to
Yeah.
hear. Yeah, that there is a way.
There is a way. We're speaking to a human being who is attached to a particular strategy right now that is not likely getting that human being what they're hoping to get. And fighting it is not going to be, that is, what did Audre Lorde say? We don't dismantle the master's house with the master's tools. You need different tools. The kinds of systems, their tools are shame, blame, judgment, control, guilt, shame, contempt, scorn, fragmentation, right, wrong. Those are their tools. Those tools are self-perpetuating. The more, the more, the more. The more I judge you, the more you judge me. The more I judge you, the more you judge me. We're stuck. If we want to move out of that system, we need a different tool. And one of the ones that I think is the sort of like the baseline for everybody is you bring empathy. You see the belief system and the behavior as a strategy, a misaligned, tragic, harmful, but we leave that alone. It's a strategy to meet a need. And we start talking about the needs and we rehumanize the human. It's like you're kind of going in and looking for the humanity underneath all of the rubble. Don't get distracted by the rubble. Go find the human.
Beautiful, thank you.
You're so welcome. It's such a beautiful question. Is there anything else, Carol? Anything you need for you, your heart?
I don't think so. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. Any clarifying questions on this piece? Yes, Joseph.
Yeah, so honest response here. Sorry, my video's off. What if you really hate? What if you really love hating the person? I guess you just be quiet until you can fix that, right?
Well, the
Because
people who really love hating the people tend to give themselves permission to go on hating the people and killing them and hurting them and shooting them. And I mean, like, so the people who really love hating the people are usually acting on it. And that's where we would want to use the protective use of force if we could figure out collectively on this globe how to do that, which I don't think we have yet. But if you're saying, because what I think I'm hearing you say, Josie, is if I find a part of myself getting a lot of satisfaction out of hating them, but I have an inner conflict about that, and I don't want to act on that part of me, then what do I do? Is that what you're asking?
That's what I'm asking. Yes.
Okay. Then exactly what you were about to say, you contain it. And this is where I would say you go and speak to the other people. Like if I have a family member who's trying to impose something on me that I don't want, blah, 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 and I feel like I just hate them and I don't want to be anywhere around them and I think they're sucky and awful and I reject them and blah, whatever it is that I'm thinking, but I don't want to be in that place, then I'm going to take that part of me and I'm going to go and work with her on the back end to do my own work around that. To get to a place of wisdom and clarity before I re-engage with the person that I'm having all of this charged material with. And that work, that behind the scenes work involves allowing that voice out, this voice that is judging and hurting and angry back. You want to get that on a journal. You want to journal that all out. You want to get that voice expressed, but in a place where it's not going to harm or continue a cycle, right? So you express it so that you can begin to see what is important to you about that. It is the pathway to your own values, to your own mattering, to your own self-empathy, to self-connection, to self-understanding. It's how we metabolize the experiences we've had and what we have internalized. It's how we metabolize and become choiceful about belief systems that we've inherited that still live inside of us. We take it seriously. This is a voice that I'm discovering is coming up in me. Great. What constructive thing can I do with it? The very first thing any voice we find inside of ourselves needs is to be seen and heard. But we see and hear it in the ICU. Okay. We see and hear it in the dog park, in the container, in the cage. Like we take it to some contained place and we say, you can run around in here where you're not going to hurt anybody. And then we're going to, it's like, if you catch a stray dog who is really, really aggressive and is just biting everybody on the street, we capture the dog and we put it in a nice container, and then we very gingerly sort of begin developing a relationship with that dog until it learns to trust us, and we tame the dog. That's what we do with these energies inside of ourselves. We find these wild dogs running around inside of us, and we love them up. We love them up. We develop a relationship with them. We see them, we hear them, we understand their pain, we understand what happened to them, we understand where they came from. We soothe them, we feed them, and we show them a better way of being that is more interconnected, more independent, more interdependent, and more aligned with whoever it is that you are trying to be. It needs to be healed, and healing is seeing it, knowing it, accepting it, working with it, understanding the good reasons why it's there, and doing that in relationship with other people who can hold it with you, because these are relational wounds. These are wounds that happened in relationship. They are healed in a new relationship. There's a lot of work we can do independently to get ready, but a very big piece of it for it to become real is with a therapist, is with a healer, is with an empathy group, is with a friendship group that can have a new response to your authentic self than the response that was originally wounding. I'm starting a course next Monday on navigating power dynamics using nonviolent communication. So the focus will be on the tools of nonviolent communication and how we work with power over, power under, and move into a place of shared power, power with. There's still time to register if any of you are wanting to join us. And if you're hearing this, if you're on the podcast and you're hearing this like the Wednesday after we've started, you can still sign up and join us. You'll get the replay for the first session if you missed it. But yes, we can get into a discussion about cults and some entrenched places and the power of community and what are the tools of power used in a domination system? And then what are the tools of power that we might bring to that that are more power with, that are more really relational? Where do you find your power? So it's a deep dive. It's 6 weeks long. I hope you guys join us if you haven't signed up. We've got a good group of people signed up already, and I'm very, very excited to be starting that next Monday. So, but if you do not join us for that course, I do hope you join us back next Wednesday. Have a fabulous week. Just a friendly reminder, if this episode resonated with you, please share with your family, friends, and coworkers. And if these conversations leave you wanting more, please consider joining my monthly membership program where you can join me live to keep growing with a community of open-hearted, like-minded people just like you. There are more free resources, including a quiz to help you assess your preferred listening style at yvetteerasmus.com and a lot of free videos on my YouTube channel. Remember, personal growth is a journey and not a destination, so please keep loving up all your awkward, messy, and imperfect parts as you go. See you next time.